Boker Tov. We're now on Daf Chaf Chet Amud Aleph, towards the end of the Amud, and we continue to analyze the Mishnayot dealing with the Korban Atzei Itzim. Korban HaItzim. And in the middle of that Mishnah, it listed that on the 20th of Av was Bnei Pachat Moav Ben Yehuda. Now, the identity of these Bnei Pachat Moav is subject to some discussion. Tanar, Bnei Pachat Moav ben Yehuda, hin Bnei David ben Yehuda. So according to Reb Meir, they're the same as Bnei David ben Yehuda. Rabbi Yossi Omer, hin Bnei Yoav ben Tzruya. They're members of the family of Yoav ben Tzruya. Now, further on, we have Besrim Ba'alu Bnei Adin ben Yehuda. Tanavaram, Bnei Adin ben Yehuda, hin Bnei David ben Yehuda. Ayativer Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yossi Omer, hin Bnei Yoav ben Tzruya. So we have all sorts of different possibilities, but what seems pretty clear is that some of the names that appear on our list are pseudonyms for other names that appear on the list, which means that the group of families that we have offering the Eitzim, as per the story that when they first came up, they didn't find Eitzim, etc., some of those families have multiple days. Now that becomes problematic because of the following. The end of the Mishnah said that on the first of Tevet, Bnei Parosh had a second time. Now, according to what we just saw, we should mention that either Bnei Yoav or Bnei David had a second time also. So our Mishnah can't fit with any of these opinions because every one of them would have had another family be doubled over. If it was Reb Meir, then it should say that Bnei David had a second time. E Rabbi Yehuda litni shav Bnei David ben Yehuda shniya. E Rabbi Yossi litni shav Bnei Yoav ben Tzruya shniya. So whatever Tana it's going to be, should have not listed Parosh as the only family that uniquely had a second time around, but it should have had some other family around. So the answer is the Olam Rabbi Yossi, Utrei Tanoi Aliba de Rabbi Yossi. So the answer that we give is that really it's Rabbi Yossi, and we have two different versions of what Rabbi Yossi said. According to one opinion, Rabbi Yossi claimed that we really do have some families that are doubled over. Yoav ben Tzruya is the same as one of the other families. And according to the Rabbi Yossi, who is the author or the authority of our Mishnah, they really are separate families, and therefore only Bnei Parosh are repeated. The last date on the Mishnah was Bechad B'Tevet Lo Yavo Mamad, said that after we listed all of the exemptions, we said that putting them all together, the one day in the year when there was no Mamad at all was the first of Tevet, because it had Hallel because of Chanukah, it had Korban Musaf because of Rosh Chodesh, and Korban Eitzim because it was the last date in the year. So Amar Leimar Kashish Shabredu Av Chista Ravashi, so he asked Ravashi, Mashna Hallel the Dachi Didei, Mashna Musaf to Lo Dachi Didei. So he asked, how come Hallel pushes off the Mamad of Shachrit, which is when Hallel is said, and Musaf doesn't push off the Mamad of Musaf? Why does Musaf push off either Mincha or Ne'ilah, depending on which version we saw? But Musaf does not exempt Musaf. It's very strange. The day that has Musaf, you still have a Mamad in Musaf. So Amar Ravashi, Ravashi answered, Hashtar Lav Didei Dachi Didei Lo Kol Shekein. Ravashi said the opposite. He said, if the fact that there's a Korban Musaf means there's no Ne'ilah that day or no Mincha that day, of a Mamad of Mincha, then Kal V'chomer, there's no Musaf. So in other words, certainly there would be no Mamad for Musaf that day, and beyond that, there would be no Mamad for either Mincha or Ne'ilah. So Amar Le Hachi Kaminalach. So the student said to Ravashi, yeah, I understood that. That's what I'm asking. Lo Lidchi Ela Didei. How come Hallel, a day of Hallel, only pushes off Shachrit, whereas Musaf pushes off Musaf and something else? It should only push off its own day, its own tefillah. Amar le Ika Rabbi Yossi dikai kavatach. Rashi turned around and said, you're right, Rabbi Yossi agrees with you that it should only exempt Musaf. The Tanna Rabbi Yossi Omer, kol yom sheyesh po Musaf, yesh po Mamad. Anytime there's a Musaf, there's a Mamad. Mamad demai. What kind of Mamad? Ile Mamad de Shachrit? How could you have a Mamad de Shachrit? Atana kama nami hachi kamar. After all, the Tana has come and said that also. So Rabbi Yossi is not saying anything new to say on a day that there's Musaf, there's a Mamad of Shachrit. El de Mincha, korban eitzim dachi. It can't be that it's referring to Mincha, because that has nothing to do with Musaf. El alav de Ne'ilah. It must be that he's saying that when there is a day of Korban Musaf, if there's still a Mamad of Ne'ilah, meaning he has to say something that's different than the Tanakama. So he says that there is a Ne'ilah. Shmamina didei dochi to lav didei lo dochi. So Rav Yossi must hold that a day of Musaf only is exempted from Mamad of Musaf and not from Mamad of everything else. And the Tanakama holds it's exempted from Musaf and either Mincha or Ne'ilah. Shmamina. Good. So now the question is, why do we only list the first of Tevet as having these three things combined? After all, V'liti Nami v'chad b'Nisan lo hayo mamad. The first of Nisan should have all three of these things also. The first of Nisan and the first of Tevet are the two Rosh Chodeshim that have Korban Eitzim. So therefore, Rosh Chodesh Nisan, Meshi Yishpo Halel, Korban Musaf and Korban Eitzim, it has all three also. Of course, the difference is, why is there Halel on Rosh Chodesh Tevet? Because it's Chanukah. Why is there Halel on the first of Nisan? Because it's Rosh Chodesh. So Amarava Zotamert Halila the very Shiar Chalav Doraita. Now the word Doraita here is a little tricky. But what Rava says is, that's why on the page I wrote Doraita in quotes. Rava says, this proves to you that the Halal that's set on Rosh Chodesh is not Doraita. Now, according to those Rishonim like the Ramban who maintain that there is a mitzvah of Halal Doraita, so this could be straight up, read straight up, and say there's Halal Doraita and there's Halal that's not Doraita. But even that's a little difficult, because to say that the Halal on Chanukah is Doraita is a little bit of a challenge. But what it seems to mean is that the Halal that's said on Rosh Chodesh is not a real Halal. Right? The Amar Rabbi Yochanan Mishum Rabbi Shimon ben Yehotzadak, with a very famous statement of Rabbi Shimon ben Yehotzadak, Shmona Asar Yom B'Shana Yechid Gomer Ben Tahalo, is 18 days during the year that you say the full Halal or read the Halal. V'elan Shmonat Yimei Achag, 8 days of Sukkot, Shmonat Yimei Chanukah, that's 16. Yom Tov Rishon Shel Pesach, first day of Pesach, V'Yom Tov Rishon Shel Atzeret, and the day of Shavuot. Which means, by the way, the rest of Pesach and Rosh Chodesh and any other day that Halal might be said is not really being said functionally as Halal. And by the way, Uvagola, Asrim Vechad Yom, in Chutz La'aretz, there's 21 days, because add one each to Sukkot, Shavuot, and Pesach, not to Chanukah, and you get 21. And by the way, on the page I indicated the mnemonic, which is Bivetach, 2 days of Pesach, 2 days of Shavuot, 9 days of Sukkot, and 8 days of Chanukah. So you see that Rosh Chodesh is never considered to be a day of Halal. So now we have the story to sort of back that up, and indicating that during the times of the Beit HaMikdash, there was never even a custom to say Halal on Rosh Chodesh, because the first mention of it happens in the 3rd century. Rav Iklal the Bavel. Rav came to Bavel, and this may have been the time that Rav left Eretz Yisrael after the death of Rabbi Yehuda HaNasi, and went back home to Bavel, or it could have been on one trip. Chazinu de Kokaru Halila Bereish Yarcha. He went into Shul and he saw them saying Halal on Rosh Chodesh. Savar Lafsukinu, he wanted to stop them and to correct them that they shouldn't be saying it. Meaning that at that point, Halal on Rosh Chodesh was not even a known custom, much less a widespread custom. Came in the Chazar de Kamadalgi Delugi when he saw them skipping in the middle, as is our custom to skip some of the paragraphs. He said, I understand from this that it is a minhag, and they're not saying it midin halal, they're saying it midin a minhag that perhaps was instituted or was generated as a desire in Chutz La'aretz to make something special of Rosh Chodesh, especially in light of the Churban of the Beit HaMikdash, when Rosh Chodesh has nothing special to it anymore, because of course the main special thing is the Korban. So that was Rav's response when he patiently waited and saw that they did not say a full halal, that they skipped several paragraphs, said, aha, I see that's Mishum Minhag. So in other words, that doesn't count as a halal. Therefore, on a day like a Rosh Chodesh, which is not Rosh Chodesh Tevet, when halal is said as a minhag, there would still be a ma'amad in Shacharit. And therefore, the Tana didn't say on Rosh Chodesh Nisan, there is no Mamad, because there is a Mamad on Shacharit. There's no Mamad on Mincha because of Korban Eitzim or because of Musaf, Korban Musaf. There is no Mamad of Ne'ilah because of the Korban Eitzim or because of Musaf, however you read it. But there is a Mamad in the morning because the Halal that said that day does not really fully count. Parenthetically, there is a very interesting dispute between the Rambam and the Baalei HaTosfot about whether you say a Bracha on the Halal on Rosh Chodesh. And to some extent, it revolves around an interpretation of what happened with Rav. Is it possible that Rav came into the shul in the middle of the Halel and see the comments of the Rosh in the 8th Perek of Chulin, the Rav might have walked in the middle of Halel and not known that they had not made a bracha, and only recognize that it was different when they skipped? Or is that impossible, as the Rosh claims, and therefore Rav certainly was there at the beginning and certainly heard them saying a bracha, which is why he thought that it was a regular halal till they skipped, which is why the Rosh argues that you do say a bracha on halal on Rosh Chodesh. The minhagim in this matter have somewhat of a continuum between everybody making a bracha in any circumstance, all the way to not saying a bracha at all, and in the middle, that only the Shliach Tzibur says a bracha on behalf of everyone, and also the Shita, somewhat between that and the more lenient Shita, or the more inclusive Shita, which is that you say the bracha yourself, but you only say it when you are Betzibur. If you're davening on your own, you don't say it, and that's based on the following passage, Tane Yachid Lo Yatchil V'Mitchil Gomer. So we have a tradition that says that on Rosh Chodesh, an individual, if he's davening alone, should not say Hala, but if he starts it, he should finish it. Good. Now we get to the very painful Mishnah Vav, which lists the five tragedies that happened to our ancestors on Shivasar B'Tammuz, and the five that happened on Tisha B'Av. And what we're going to see here is the chronology of that, how we figure that these things happened on the 17th of Tammuz. And then on Tisha B'Av. Etc. How do we know that the tablets were broken on the 17th of Tammuz? Minalan. I have to tell you, we have the following breakdown. The Shisha L'Chodesh, on the 6th of Sivan, Nitnu Aseret HaDibrot L'Yisrael. Now this is a chronological reconstruction of Exodus 19, Exodus 20, Exodus 24, which is that on the 6th of the month, which is, we celebrate Shavuot, the Luchot were given, the Aseret HaDibrot were given to Yisrael, meaning in oral form, God announced them. Rabbi Yossi or Rabbi Shivabo, famous machloket in Shabbat Pdach Pechet, whether it was on the 6th or the 7th. Manda Rabbi Shishan Nitnu, so according to the Chachamim who said it was on the 6th, Vishishan Nitnu, Shiva Ala Moshe, and Moshe went up to the mountain the next day, as we see in Pasuk number 1, Vayikra Moshe Bayom HaShvi'i. Bayom HaShvi'i they interpret as Yom HaShvi'i of the month. Manda Rabbi Shiva, the according to Rabbi Yossi, V'shiva nitnu v'shiva ala Moshe. They were given on that day. On that same day, Rabbi Yossi went up. So either way, Rabbi Yossi, according to Rabbi Yossi, Moshe Rabbeinu went up, which means that according to every opinion, Moshe Rabbeinu went up to the mountain, up inside the clouds at the top of the mountain on the 7th of Sivan. T'chtiv ha'kra Moshe v'yem Moshevi. Good. T'chtiv ha'yavon Moshe v'tochen an v'yala har v'yim Moshe v'har v'yim yom v'yim layla. Moshe Rabbeinu was up on the mountain for 40 days and 40 nights. So add 40 to the 7th. And you end up with, let's see, Asrim V'Arba'ad Sivan, there's another 24 days of Sivan, right? Starting from the 7th, there's 24 days till the end of Sivan, assuming Sivan to be a 30-day month. V'Sheit Tzad Tammuz, and another 16 of Tammuz, which means it was on the 16th that Moshe ended his sojourn on the mountain. Malu Lohu Arba'in B'Sheit Tzad Tammuz, so it was on the 17th that he finished the 40 days. Nachit Atav Tavrin Luchot, he came down, he saw what was happening, and he broke the Luchot. Uchtiv, as we see, vayhi kasher krav al machaneh vayar ta'ego vayashlech miyadav tuluchot shemer otam tachar har. As Moshe Rabbeinu came down and he saw the people dancing around the ego and he saw the ego itself, and you see in pasuk 3 he broke the luchot. All right, so that's the chronology that takes us from the 6th of Sivan to the 17th of Tammuz, 40 days plus the extra day because he went up on the 7th. Batel ha-tamid, the second thing listed in the Mishnah is that the korban tamid was stopped. It's unclear from the Gemara which year this is, but we'll assume this is in the year 70. Gemara. We have a tradition that that's when it was. Huvka'a ha'ir, that the city walls were breached. B'shiva saravi, that was on the 17th. Faktiv, and we see in the next pasuk on the page, b'chodesh harvi'i, b'tishal ha'chodesh v'chazak harav ba'ir. So in this pasuk, which is from the book of Yirmiyahu, it says that they, and Uchtivatre, it says, v'tivaka'ir, they breached the walls on the 9th of Tammuz. So Rava says, you're right, it was the 9th of Tammuz in 586 BCE, meaning 1st Beit HaMikdash. But in 70 CE, in the 2nd Beit HaMikdash, it was on the 17th. We have a braita, simply lists those dates. Now, the fourth item is, Saraf Apostomos et HaTorah. This famous Apostomos burned the Torah. Gemara, it's a tradition we have as a tradition, we don't have any textual support. Of course, we can't have textual support because apostomos happened well after the period of the Tanakh. Hamid Salam Bahichal, Minalan. How do we know that he placed an idol in the Heichal on the same day as the 17th of Tammuz? In the book of Daniel, it says, from the time the Tamid was stopped and to put this disgusting idol, this disgusting item in the Mikdash, so the disgusting item shows up sort of in lieu of the Tamid, as it were. It's very sad in lieu. And so therefore, whatever day it was that the Tamid was stopped, we have a tradition that was the 17th of Tammuz, that'll also be the day on which the idol is erected in the Mikdash. What was there? Was only one idol? In Daniel it says, on the wings of these disgusting things that are desolate, meaning that there is more than one. So Amarava Trayavu, he says, you're right, there were two. One of them fell on the other and broke his hand. And he saw that it was written there, Ant Tsovit Lacharuve Beta Yadach Ashlimatle. And they saw that it was written, you want to destroy the house, your hand I paid back to you. In other words, it's as if one idol is saying to the other one, I'm going to give you my hand, together we'll destroy this temple. That's seemingly what happened. So just a sort of an agadic fill-in to this idea of the idols. Now we get to the chronology of the saddest day in the year, Tisha B'Av, and the events that happened. Shabbat Nigzar Voltena Shalik on Sula Aretz, famously, the first item that happened in our history that was terrible that happened on Tisha B'Av was the decree against our ancestors that they may not enter the land after the scouts came back and gave their report. And now we just have to build up the chronology that they returned on the 8th of Av, and that night the people cried, and that night God said, I'm going to have you all die in the desert and your children will enter the land. Menalan. So now we've got to go through a chronology which will take us through a number of the psukim on the page. It is psukim 7 through 16. So on the very first day of the first month, meaning Nisan, of the second year, the Mishkan was erected. For the first year, he built the Mishkan. In the second year, he put it up. Shalach Meraglim, he also sent scouts. Uchtiv ahim ashana shenit b'chashachodesh ha-sheni b'asvim b'chodesh na'alai ha'anan mi'al mishkan ha'idut. That it was in the second year, on the second month, on the 20th, meaning what we call Iyar, the 20th of Iyar, that the cloud lifted and it was time finally to travel from Har Sinai. They had been at Sinai for almost a year. Uchtiv ha'isum ihar adonai derech shlosh yamim. It says they traveled for 3 days. And the next event we hear about is the complaints about the food. So there's a drashan on Vayisum Mehar Hashem. They traveled away from the mountain of God, like Rashi says, like a tino kaborech from Beit HaSefer, like a child running away from school when the bell rings for summer vacation or whatever. This is when all of the riffraff had a lust, what the Rabbi Salvechik called the voluptuaries, had the lust for the meat. And what was Hashem's response? I'm going to give you food and you're going to eat it for a month. So now, take the 20th of Iyar, when the cloud lifted. They traveled for 3 days, that's the 23rd. And then, for a whole month, they're going to be eating this meat until finally they choke on it. So now that takes us to the 22nd of Sivan. And then after that was the event of Miriam and the Lashon Hara, and she was locked away for 7 days, and they all waited for her for 7 days. She was in seclusion. That takes us to the 29th of Sivan. And then immediately after Miriam's episode, it says, Shlach Lecha Anashim, the beginning of the sending of the scouts. And according to that chronology, Moshe sent the scouts immediately that day, which is the 29th of Sivan. This is quite clear in the text that they traveled for 40 days. So add 40 days to the 29th of Sivan. So wait a second. If you're going to count from the 29th of Sivan 40 days, that takes you till Tisha B'Av. Remember, we want them to come back on the 8th of Av. So to get to the 8th of Av, it'll be 39 days, not 40. So Amabaya Tammuz Da'ishata Malui Malyua. That year, Tammuz was a full month, unlike our normal calendar. It's a very interesting drasha on the pasuk in Eicha. Hashem has declared a moed to destroy my sons. In other words, Hashem made Tammuz longer so that the Rosh Chodesh Av would be a day later, so that the 8th of Av would be the day that they came back instead of the 9th, so that they would weep that night, etc. They all cried on that night. Famous Drasha, that was the 8th of Av, and then that night was the 9th. Amar l'makodesh baruch hu, atem b'chitem b'chiyah shalchinam, you wept for nothing. I will make this day a day of weeping for generations. And that is Tisha B'Av. So all of that chronology gives us the 9th of Av as the decree against our ancestors. Charav HaBayit B'Rishonah, the second and third things that happened on Tisha B'Av, of course, terribly, was the destruction of the first Beit HaMikdash in 586 BCE and of the second Mikdash in 70 CE. Dichtiv HaChodesh HaChamishi B'Shiva LaChodesh Yishna 19 Shana LaMelech Nebuchadnezzar Melech Bavel Bav V'Nuzradan Rav Tavachim Eved Melech Bavel V'Shalayim V'Yisof Et Beit Adonai V'Et Beit HaMelech, etc. Famous psukim in Yirmiyahu. At the end of Malachim. Uchtiv v'chodesh ha'chamishiv ha'asor l'chodesh yishnat 19 shana l'melech nebuchadnezzar melech bavel bav v'nuzadan rav tavachim amad lifnei melech bavel v'yishalayim. So you notice that in Malachim it's the 7th of Av, and in Yirmiyahu it's the 10th of Av. V'tanya yiv shalom ha'chamishiv ha'asor k'var nimar ba'asor. And we have a bright that says you can't say it's the 7th because it's the 10th. It says the 10th. Yiv shalom ha'asor k'var nimar ba'asor b'shiva. You can't say it was the 10th because it was the 7th. How do we resolve this contradiction? So they must have entered on the 7th into the temple. The foreigners entered into the temple. They came in and they behaved disgustingly for the 7th and the 8th. On the 9th, towards the end of the day, that's when they ignited the fire. And it lit and burned for all of the 10th. Shnemar oylanu kifanah yom, this pasuk in Yirmiyahu, woe to us that the day is gone, ki inatu tzilei arev, that the shadows of evening have fallen. In other words, as the day ends, that's when the mikdash is burning. V'hanu damar b'yochanan yumalei ha'iti b'oto ador lo kvativ ala basiri. Rabbi Yochanan said, if I were there at the time, I would have made the fast on the 10th, because that's when the main burning happened. He is referring, by the way, to the second mikdash. Neshur bo shalecha bo nisraf. So why did the rabbis make it on the 9th? Atchalta de puranuta adifa. When the beginning of the punishment sets in, that's really the worst time. And so the fast is on Tisha B'Av, even though the fire only began at the end of Tisha B'Av. But what they're doing is to resolve Sukkim about the first Beit HaMikdash, but the record here is about the second. Uvashniyam and Alan, how do we know that the second Beit HaMikdash burned on the 9th? Tani megalgvein zchut liyom zakai v'choval liyom chayav. Simply, HaKadosh Baruch Hu arranges things that good things happen on days that otherwise are already good, and bad things happen on days that are already bad. Haruk Shecharei Beit HaMikdash, which means, by the way, according to this sugya, the first Beit HaMikdash also was burnt beginning of the night, at the end of the 9th, and then continued into the 10th, and the second followed suit. Amruk Shecharei Beit HaMikdash Rishonah Oto Hayom Erev Tisha B'Av Haya. The first Mikdash, it was Erev Tisha B'Av, Umotzei Shabbat Haya, it was Saturday night. Motzei Shvita Yaita, it was also the end of the Shemitah year. Umishmarta Shel Yehora Yariv Haita, in which Kohanim had just started their Avodah, was the Mishmarav Yor Yariv. Valvim Ayur Omrim Shira, and the Levim were saying Shira, Vyomdim Al Duchanan, they were standing there. Uma Shira Ayur Omrim, what were they saying? They were saying the end of Psalm 94. Vayashev Aleihem et Onam Uvratam Yatzvitem Yatzvitem Adonai Eloheinu. God will indeed seal them up, will hurt them. Vespiko Amai Yatzvitem Adonai Eloheinu. They didn't get a chance to say the second Yatzvitem Ad Shebao Nochim Chvashum Echein Vashniya until the Goyim came in and conquered them. So they're in the middle of this pasuk about God's vengeance on the nations, and the nations came in. Of course, this adds very much to our pain about the Churban. The fourth item on the list is Nilkada Beitar, that the fortress of Beitar in the year 135 or 136 CE was conquered by the Romans. Gemara, that's a tradition that was on Tisha B'Av. Nechashayir, the final item on the list, painfully, is the city was plowed under. So Tanya, we have a brighter that expands on this. Ksheharav Tonus Rufus Harasha et Haichal. So Tonus Rufus is given credit here for destroying the temple. Nigzaragzara, Megamliel Lahariga. Megamliel was slated for death. Megamliel, the head of the Sanhedrin at the time, was Megamliel the first, was slated for death. Apologies, we're on Gamliel a second. Ba'o toi gmon v'yamad b'beit ha-midrash. So the governor stood in this, and stood in the Beit HaMidrash. Ba'al ha-chotem mitpakesh, ba'al ha-chotem mitpakesh. He said the one with the nose is being sought after. That's how they referred to Rabbi Gamliel, because he stood out in his generation like a nose stands out on its face. Shema Gamliel, azal tasha minayos. Rabbi Gamliel hid from him. Azal gabei betzina. So the segmon went and found Rabbi Gamliel in his hiding place, and he found him quiet. Amarle, imatzimalach, mighty liva omedate. If I save you, will you give me, ensure my place in the world to come? Amarle hand. Rabbi Gamliel said yes. Because Rabbi Gamliel saw this was somebody who evidently felt bad about what he was doing and about his place in it, and he wanted to make up for it. By the way, there's a record of quite a number of Romans, including some important ones, who converted to Judaism in the middle of all of this persecution. It's quite amazing. Amarle ishtavali. So he said, swear to me that you'll ensure me a place in the world to come. Ishtavale, Rabbi Gamliel swore to him. Salik l'igra nafalu mit. So this hegmon then went up to the roof and he jumped off and he killed himself. And they had a rule, which is whenever they have a decree and one of their leadership dies, this is their rule, v'vatli l'gzeratayu, they cancel it like an amnesty. So in other words, he effectively saved Rabbi Gamliel because he died. So they had to cancel the decree against Rabbi Gamliel. Yastabat kol v'yamra, a voice from heaven came out and said, Hoto hegmon v'zuman l'chei olam haba, ensuring that Rabbi Gamliel's promise would be fulfilled, he has a place in the world to come. Tana Rabbanan, the last piece we'll see this morning, is an agadic expansion about the destruction. V'shachar v'abayper yishonan kaptzu kitot kitot shel pirchei kuhuna. When the first mikdash was destroyed, these young children, pirchei kuhuna of the Kohanim, gathered, umaftechot haichal biyadan, they had the keys to the haichal in their hands. Ve'alu l'gaga haichal, they went up to the roof, yamru l'fanam, they said, ribono sholam, ko'il v'lo zachino l'yod kiz barinim anim, because we did not merit to be proper treasurers of the mikdash, we didn't reach the age, the mikdash will be destroyed before we reach a responsible age. Yumaftechot mesur ablach, you take the keys back. Uzrakum kwafim ali, they threw the keys in the air, and something like a hand came out and took the keys from them. It's a very powerful but very painful story. And then they themselves jumped into the fire of the Mikdash. This is what Yeshayahu prophetically in his elegy said. A prophecy about the valley of vision. You have gone up on the roof. Your dead are not the dead of swords and not from war. Rather, again, they've jumped in the fire for Kodesh Baruch Hu Neymar. So what is HaKodesh Baruch Hu's, what is the description of it? That HaKodesh Baruch Hu says, Mekarkar Kir, V'Shoa El Ahar. Alright, that HaKodesh Baruch Hu makes the sound sort of in response to them, Shoah, the master, makes a sound towards the mountain also about the terrible destruction that's taking place. Everybody should have a wonderful day, and we should only hear Besorot Tovot.